Hello and welcome. You're watching a special episode of The Buck Stops Here, coming to you live from Srinagar. We're at Kashmir's ground zero at a time when the valley has been on edge after the elimination of Hizbul Mujahideen militant Burhan Wani. We have seen the death toll now climb to 33 civilian deaths, as well as the death of one police officer. We've also seen more than 1,000 people injured, civilians and those from the security forces. On the next 60 minutes, we'll be looking at the fundamental question. Beyond the politics, beyond the rhetoric, beyond the polarized debate that you sometimes see on social media, the truth of the matter is that this is a deeply wounded valley. Who will bring it? The healing touch. Where will the healing touch come from? And is Delhi in denial, or does Delhi's policy playbook have any imaginative ideas to bring a healing touch, a balm to this wounded valley? We start tonight with something that has generated a debate. Across the hospitals in this city, you see images like this one. If we can bring up these images now. These are images, these are pictures of young people, mostly young men, around 18, some of them even as young as 16. Partially blinded, in some cases completely blinded. They may never be able to see again. And why has this happened? Because they've been hit with what are called pellet guns. Why are pellet guns being used? Ironically, they're called non-lethal weapons, but they're clearly weapons with lethal consequences. We travelled across different hospitals in the city to ask why these pellet guns are still being used. Is it quite literally pointing to a limited vision for Kashmir? But also on the other side of the trenches are the stories of the injured soldiers, the injured police officers, the injured paramilitary forces, who say their hands are tied too. And nobody appreciates what they have to go through when they're confronted with violent mobs, violent crowds, wielding stones and sometimes trying to snatch away their weapons, even in cases burning down police stations and government establishments. The Buck Stops Here team, Nazeer Masoodi, Zafar Iqbal, Numan Siddiqui, Aapta Ramesh and Arif Radu and myself, put together this special report from Kashmir's Ground Zero. Kashmir Valley in lockdown for the fifth consecutive day. Deserted streets, downed shutters, provocative graffiti scrawled across the walls by rage-filled young men and anxious troops trying to avert the next big flare-up. But it is off the streets and inside the hospitals of the city that images like this one have come to haunt. A 16-year-old teenage girl hit by the stray shot of a pellet gun as she looked down from her window at what was happening outside. The pellet hit her head, creating a critical brain injury. In ward after ward, on bed after bed, the lethal consequences of the pellet gun, ironically said to be a non-lethal crowd control weapon, are now evident. Disturbingly, the most common pellet gun injury has been to the eye. Scores of young men that we meet have been partially or permanently blinded, and depending on the success of the surgery, may or may not ever see again. We meet Mohammed Aleem Dar, all of 18, a school dropout whose father works as a labourer in the wood cutting trade. Clearly terrified, he tells us that he had attended the street protests for killed militant Burhan Wani as a mere onlooker, not as a participant. Aleem has just been operated on, one of more than 100 eye surgeries performed by doctors in the last few days. But doctors are not fully confident that his vision will return in his injured eye.
Aap kya protest mein nikle the?
Nahi, aise hi nikle the sadak par.
Aap protest mein the bhi nahi?
Nahi.
तो आप अपने काम से निकले थे?
ऐसे ही देखने गए थे सड़क पर.
अच्छा, फिर क्या हुआ?
फिर उन लोगों ने पैलेट मारे थे वहाँ से.
पैलेट मारी क्राउड को भगाने के लिए?
जी.
अभी आपकी आंख का क्या हाल है?
कुछ नहीं दिख रहा है.
कुछ नहीं दिख रहा। आलिम जब पैलेट एकदम से लगी तो क्या सेंसेशन थी?
मैंने सोचा था मैं मर गया। वो है
इतनी जोर से लगी और एकदम से रोशनी चली जाती है।
हाँ, वो
है। हाँ? डॉक्टर से भी हम बात करेंगे, पर क्या उम्मीद है कि जो आंख की विजन है वो वापस आ जाएगी?
क्या पता, वो तो ऊपर वाले के हाथ में।
क्या सपना आपने देखा है, क्या क्या करना चाहते हैं?
कुछ,
कुछ सपना तो होगा कि बड़े होके, या नहीं
था मगर अब नहीं
था मगर अब नहीं है। क्यों?
जब आंखें चली गई तो चला बेटा जा रहा सत्र।
Across the bed from him is a boy even younger. Bilal Ahmed is a class 11 student and all of 16. He did join the protesting crowds as they clashed with security forces, but insists that it did not throw stones or provoke the use of a pellet gun.
Bilal, आप स्कूल में पढ़ते
हैं? जी मैम।
कौन सी क्लास में?
11th।
अभी भी पढ़ाई कर रहे हैं कि छोड़ दी?
नहीं, पढ़ाई छोड़।
और फादर मजदूरी करते
हैं?
अच्छा, ये जो पेलेट की इंजरी आपको आंख में लगी है,
जी
कैसे लगी, क्या हुआ?
जब हमने जुलूस निकाला तो हमने वो अमन के साथ ना विद पीस एंड प्रॉस्पेरिटी, देन आफ्टर दे 10,000 रुपया दे वेर अटैक वुड विद हिम। हमने ना कोई पत्थर फेंके ना कोई ऐसे, फिर मुझे पता नहीं कैसे आ गया, मुझे कहाँ से आया, वहाँ बहुत सारे पुलिस है। जब वो पीछे दौड़ने, जब हम पीछे चले गए तो वो पीछे आ गए, फिर उन्होंने ये मार दिया
पैलेट।
हाँ, और यहाँ आ गए और आँख में।
मुझे एक बात बताइए, आप कह रहे हैं कि आप पत्थर भी नहीं फेंका, आप
नहीं,
शांति से जुलूस निकाल
रहे? हाँ, शांति से जुलूस निकाल, नारा लगा के और बस,
बुरहान वानी के लिए।
हाँ।
Ironically, Bilal does have a dream. He too wants to be a doctor. One he may not be able to pursue, he says, if his eye does not heal.
आपने क्या सपना देखा अपने लिए कि मैं स्कूल में क्या पढ़ाई, मतलब पढ़ाई करने के बाद क्या करना चाहते हैं?
डॉक्टर बनना चाहता हूँ। मैं ये कोचिंग कर रहा हूँ पैरीपोरा में, कई इंस्टीट्यूट में।
डॉक्टर बनना चाहते
हैं? जी, मैं इसी के लिए इंट्रेंस कोचिंग कर रहा हूँ।
किस तरह का डॉक्टर?
एम्स।
In Kashmir's protracted 2-decade-long insurgency, perhaps there is no profession more beleaguered and overworked than its doctors. Today is just the same. The principal of this medical college tells us his team has been snowed under with eye surgeries. Pellet guns, he says, have a crippling consequence. A single cartridge is 400 to 500 iron balls or pellets. A single shot scatters these in the air in multiple directions, capable of simultaneous injuries.
Professor Riaz, can you tell us the kind of pellet injuries that you have been seeing after these last few days that we have seen here of tension and clashes? Yeah. Firstly, what is a pellet injury and what does it do to the eye?
Basically, pellet is a very small piece of metallic pieces. They are dispersed by the pellet gun in innumerable number and hit many parts of the body and many individuals at one time. And eye being a very delicate structure, there occurs usually a perforation, which can be a single perforation or a double perforation, resulting in vitreous hemorrhage and immediate loss of vision.
You're saying a pellet injury can actually cause a permanent loss of vision?
Of course.
Permanent loss?
Yes.
When it is described as a non-lethal form of controlling crowds, you do not agree that it's non-lethal? Well, it doesn't kill, but you say it causes...
But of course, see, if you see that loss of vision is more severe, more worse condition than being crippled. Even if you hit a bullet in the leg, pellet is more dangerous because you lose vision. That is the problem with this.
So what are the kind of injuries you've been seeing? Like at this hospital alone, how many such pellet injuries have you had to treat?
Total number of injuries we received and admitted is 59 since Saturday.
At this hospital alone?
Yes, this hospital alone.
So how common is it for vision to recover after a pellet injury? And a
the results are not good with the pellet injury.
So the chances or the probability of vision recovering after a pellet injury in the eye are not very high?
Not very high.
As we are talking, another seriously injured young man has been wheeled out of the operation theatre. Pellets hit him in multiple parts of his body, the chest and eye included. Like the others in the hospital, Mudassar too is only 18.
In this patient, one of the pellets has struck the left eye. And the left eye, as we examined during the night period, I was on the duty, we are not having much hopes about his left eye. There is a globe rupture. The second thing is that the same pellets are there in the abdomen. You can see lot of pellets, and all of them, this is the umbilicus, this is the waist. This is, everything is above waist. There is not a single pellet below the waist. So everything is directed on his chest, abdomen and face. Both lungs are injured. You can see, if you can palpate here, you will see air coming out of the lungs. So lungs are injured. Both chest tubes are there. How much recovery he will make, he can go into pneumonia, he can go into sepsis, lot of complications. So basic reason is that these multiple pellets.
All of these are
pellets. All of these are pellets, and they are inside still. We don't remove them.
So you have not removed these pellets?
We don't have to remove the pellets.
And will you eventually be removing them?
No, only for cosmetic reasons.
I see. Pellet injuries are literally blinding, and questions are being asked as to whether their use against a new generation of Kashmiri protesters reflects a limited vision in more ways than one. It is at hospitals like these across Srinagar that the full Burhan Wani aftermath can be observed. While security forces have argued that they were forced to fire because of violent crowds, the focus now is on pellet injuries. So many young men we met, many of them still in school, may never be able to see properly again because of pellet injuries. Raising the question as to whether pellet guns, especially when fired above the waist, as we saw with so many people here in this hospital, is really the best and the most appropriate way to control crowds in such a volatile situation. But on the other side of the trenches, security forces do not accept that pellet guns are a disproportionate or excessive use of force. They argue that the clashes that erupted after the elimination of Burhan Wani were new in their aggression and tactics, that they had no option but to retaliate. At the ICU of the Army's base hospital in Srinagar, 14 police officers and paramilitary men are undergoing treatment. So since the elimination of Burhan Wani, we have seen a standoff on the streets of the valley. How many casualties of security forces has this base hospital received, and what is the nature of the injuries?
Ma'am, we have received casualties mainly from CRPF. There are 12 of them, and there are 2 from the J&K police, the casualties which have come to us so far during the last 3 to 4 days. Most of these casualties have been splinter injuries, and they could be treated promptly, but there are few of the cases where the splinters have gone into the abdomen or inside the chest. They had to be operated upon, and they were promptly treated and managed well. They all are recovering. There are 2 casualties similar, splinter injuries from the J&K police. All of them are stable at the moment in a hospital and are recovering.
The police say that 9 different government establishments and police stations at Chowkis were torched and set ablaze by the crowd. They argue that the protesting mob often outflanked them, as hundreds sometimes charged towards security posts and camps. Their hands too are often tied, these men tell us, when they are attacked by crowds in the hundreds. Kya chot aayi hai aapko aur kaise aayi?
Madam, hum us din patthar walon ko control kar rahe the noughton.
Acha.
Sham ka time tha, 7 baje ke baad. हमने उनको कंट्रोल करना शुरू कर दिया. वो पत्थर मार रहे थे हमारे ऊपर, पर पत्थर की जगह उन्होंने ग्रेनेड फेंक दिया. ब्लास्ट में स्प्लेंडर थोड़ा पेट में चला गया था और चेस्ट में.
तो मुश्किल होता होगा कि एक तरफ रिस्ट्रेंट का भी ऑर्डर रहता है तो कैसे संभाले, लेकिन जब लोग कहते हैं कि ज्यादा फोर्स यूज किया गया तो आप क्या कहेंगे?
बहुत मुश्किल है जेएनके में, तो हमारे लिए बहुत मुश्किल है कंट्रोल करना, क्योंकि अभी वो ग्रेनेड थ्रो कर रहे, कल फायर करेंगे हमारे ऊपर, हम तो भीड़ में कुछ नहीं कर सकते, क्या करें, ड्यूटी ये करना पड़ेगा.
पर पेलेट गन्स, रबर बुलेट्स वगैरह भी सब
यूज कर रहे थे हम, पर उनका तादाद इतना होता है कि उनको कंट्रोल करना मुश्किल हो जाता.
In the surgical ward of the hospital, doctors point to an injury brought in just yesterday. A bandage frames his broken frame. 34-year-old Nisar Ahmed Bhatt is Kashmiri himself. He was pelted with stones that fractured his face, and thus he's unable to talk. On the bed next to him is B. Shivaya, a CRPF soldier from Andhra Pradesh, still wearing the scars on his face. He speaks haltingly of the conflict of the last few days.
In the end, he says, these boys, they are our own people. How can we shoot at them? We should not.
क्या हुआ, कितना लोग था भीड़ में?
भीड़ तो 100, 200, 300 ऐसे हो जाते हैं।
और आप लोग कितना थे?
हमें तो 16 आदमी, 15-16 आदमी।
15-16 आदमी। तो जब वो पथराव मारते, तो आपका इंस्ट्रक्शन या ट्रेनिंग क्या है कि आपको किस तरह रिस्पॉन्ड करना चाहिए?
हमें तो कैंसिल और वो हेलमेट दे देते हैं, मगर बस उन्हीं से बचाव करना है, उनको रोकना भी है।
टियर गैस
तो देता है हमको उसको, मतलब उसका आदेश तो चाहिए ना मैडम, जो आदेश आता है जब भी उसको करना है, क्योंकि वो तो अपना ही है।
हाँ।
उसको तो हमें कुछ नहीं कर पाएंगे।
हाँ।
वो तो अपना ही आदमी है।
हाँ।
तो वो भी अपना देश का ही है, हमें कुछ नहीं कर पाएंगे, उनको हमें सिर्फ बचाव करना है, उनको रोकना है बस।
तो आपको लगता है कि अपने ही लोग हैं तो
हाँ, बस हम क्या कर सकते हैं?
पर
अब उन्हीं में से कुछ लोग है, बस ऐसे करते हैं।
And it is perhaps this sentiment that has been forgotten in the sharply politicized debate over Kashmir. Engagement with one's own people, that may be the only language that can counter the idiom of the gun and the grammar of violence. But engagement remains elusive and the valley wounded in more ways than one. With Nazeer Masoodi, Zafar Iqbal, Arif Radu, Numan Siddiqui and Aptar Ramesh, Barkhadat for NDTV. All right, so who will bring a healing touch to the wounded valley? Pellet guns raising all sorts of moral, ethical and even tactical and strategic questions, as more than one international human rights group is asking why they should be used at all when they can have literally such blinding consequences. In the meanwhile, in response to a request from Mehbooba Mufti, a team of eye surgeons has arrived from Delhi. It's already reached Srinagar because the eye surgeons here are absolutely overburdened. 100 surgeries, as we said, have already been performed in the last 5 days and counting. But we also heard from the other side of the trenches. You heard from those soldiers, the police officers, the paramilitary officers. But what moved me really was that last CRPF soldier who said, ye hamare apne log hain, in pe thodi na fire karna hai. I thought he showed more empathy than we've heard in the last 5 days. Who will bring engagement to the valley? Is it time to re-examine the security protocols and the standard operating procedure, in particular to do away with pellet guns that have had literally such a blinding consequence? Let's introduce our panel today. Tarun Vijay, senior leader of the BJP, is with us. General Rameshwar Roy, who's of course been former general officer commanding of the 16 Corps in the state, is with us. Vikram Srivastav, who served as the director general of the CRPF, which is really in the line of fire, as it were, here in the valley, is with us. We're also joined by Shamim Miraj, who's of course the editor of Kashmir Monitor, Sankarshan Thakur, a roving editor of the Telegraph, somebody who knows the state really well, and also Gohar Gilani, who's joining us here in Srinagar, an analyst and commentator and journalist. And finally, we're also joined by Vineet Kaul. Vineet Kaul signed, according to me, one of the most sane citizens' appeal for peace that did not polarize the debate, that did not make it into an either-or, and just appealed for peace. For literally a balm to be brought to this wounded valley. Let me start with you, Tarun Vijay. Would you concede that it disturbs you to see that we've had 100 eye surgeries, that the government's own health ministry has had to fly in eye surgeons, that when I went around the hospitals and I saw 16-year-old boys and 18-year-old boys, perhaps permanently vision impaired for life, there's something we need to change here. We can keep debating how to solve Kashmir. Maybe it'll never get solved in our lifetime. But in the meanwhile, the use of these pellet guns and the consequences they've brought is disturbing.
I'm saddened to see my soldiers who use utmost restraint against a frenzied and a mad crowd using stone missiles against my soldiers who were protecting their motherland. And the crowd knew the consequences of its actions. They were trying to break my country and they were supporting a mafia, Burhan Wani, who is a terrorist, a criminal, responsible of killing innocent Kashmiris. They are working against the Kashmiri people. And these misguided youngsters who were stoning my soldiers, our country's soldiers, who were trying to protect the constitution and democracy, they can't be compared with the CRPF people. They killed a Jawan day before by overturning the vehicle. They know what they are doing. They are not the innocent thumb-sucking kids. They know that Nizam-e-Mustafa, Allahu Akbar and anti-India slogans, what they are shouting is at the on the behest of Pakistan. And that's the reason I cannot tolerate anyone trying to break my country. For me, these are the people who silently watched when the Kashmiri Hindu women were raped and they were driven out of their homes. They kept silent, these all mullahs and maulvis and the sympathizers to these terrorists. Burhan Wani is no hero.
Let me ask you a question.
He is a dreaded terrorist.
He's not a hero, of course.
Supported Burhan Wani.
Of course he is.
The crowd must know that they will be getting, they will be getting the reply.
Tarun Vijayji, my question is this. I agree with you that we have to also mourn Afroz Ahmed, the police officer whose car was pushed into the Sangam River, pushing him to instant death. I agree with you that there should be no duplicity in the grief and the honor that we accord to something horrible like that happen and to that lost life. But Tarun Vijay, when you say that they're trying to break my country, the fact of the matter is the boys on the street here, the ones who are almost being blinded, are also our people. They are also Indians. Don't we say
yes.
Kashmir is an integral part of India?
Brothers.
Do we not need to find a more imaginative way to talk to them?
But so are the criminals who are being tried under CRPC in the various jails. So you cannot say that if any Indian is caught doing anything wrong, he should be treated sympathetically. These people know what is the consequence of their actions. I fully sympathize with those Kashmiri boys who vote for democracy, for good governance. Mehbooba and Nirmal Singh are doing their best. And so other Umar Farooq should also help those Kashmiri young people who stand for a good career. They bring laurels to their parents and their society. They are in majority. It's a small handful of mafia people, criminals, with whom we should have no sympathy. They know if they are stone pelting our soldiers, the poor soldier has to protect himself and has to take care that journalists like who sympathize with the criminals and don't sympathize with the army people, and he has to be very restrained. You must salute our soldiers. You use utmost restraint against the killers and the murderers.
That report,
the Wani is a dreaded terrorist.
Let me speak now, Tarun
Vijay.
Okay, Mr. Tarun Vijay, Mr. Tarun ji, it is no point calling me names and questioning my journalism. You may think whatever you do, aap mujhe wahan se kahenge you're a terrorist sympathizer.
Yahan pe
hum aate, yahan pe aate, yahan pe aate hain to hame jingoist kehte hain. That is part of our life. That is no sir. In that report, that you just saw, Tarun ji, let me speak now. Hamari shaan hai. Aur agar aapne meri report dekhi, to maine dono sides dikhaye. I interviewed the injured soldiers, I interviewed the injured paramilitary forces, but I also interviewed young 18-year-olds who may never see again. And these are the shades of a complex truth, Tarun Vijay. So you can call me names. I get called names by Kashmiris here. Will call me names. That's part of a journalist job. Koi baat nahi.
Please, God's sake. They are a very small minority in South Kashmir, and they were supporting a dreaded terrorist. They knew the consequences of their action.
Let's move on. Okay, now let me open this up, what you've said to the panel, and I want to go to General Roy and Vikram Srivastav on an operational question. To you, General Roy, first, why is this pellet gun essential? Why can't we find another standard operating procedure when we now know for years we have 2008, we have 2010, we have learnt our lessons? I'm asking you to explain to me why these guns are necessary. General Roy.
First of all, make it very, very clear that as far as the pellet guns, their usage is concerned, it is being done by the CRPF and probably the JKP. Army has not procured nor has it gone in for this kind of a mechanism or this kind of a weapon for the crowd control. You are absolutely right when you say that you have presented both the sides of the picture, but we must understand it is correct perspective that the entire fallout has been because of the terrorist encounter which had taken place on Saturday. The second issue is that you are absolutely right once again that from 2010 onwards, there has been this kind of a agitational terrorism which has always followed up after any kind of terrorist encounters, and therefore the state government as well as the central government and the security forces who deal with the crowd control must have gone in for the correct selection and the research and development of the crowd control mechanisms. For example, what is available in the world markets today are the rubber bullets and the water cannons, high pressure water cannons. And I'm very certain that these yes. kind of analysis or the evaluation must have been done by DG Vikas, who is also on the panel, Mr. Srivastav, because these are the people who would have gone yes. in for selection of these pellet guns. Because as I see it, yes, it presents a very, very negative side of the human emotions, the injuries caused by the pellet guns. But I am very certain that the selection of this particular weapon must have been done after due care. But at the same time, if you really look at the interview that we just conducted about the Jawans, wonderful sentiments they have expressed yes. to say, these are our countrymen,
I agree.
Therefore we have to take care of that.
I agree.
That exactly. must not be lost sight of.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. I found more empathy in that soldier than I have found in so many politicians in the last week. Now, I just want to go to Mr. Srivastav on this technical point. Sir, isn't there another way? We have all kinds of questions being raised about the consequences of this pellet gun. It is qualified as a non-lethal weapon, but its consequences in some ways are lethal if it causes partial or complete vision loss. Isn't there another way, Mr. Srivastav?
Barkha, I feel sorry for the people who have received these injuries, especially in their eyes. But I'd like to say this, that it is called a 12-bore gun, which is made by the Indian Ordnance Factory, and it's a shotgun. The pellets, there is a wide variety of caliber of the pellets. Now, number 10 pellet or number 9 pellet, I think that is what
yes.
must be used. It has between 300 to 400 pellets which come out at a time. Over a distance of 40
yes.
yards, it makes a circle, the group, of 6 feet diameter. Now, when you have such large number of pellets coming out in that way, it hits you at various places.
Exactly.
Now, it could
yes.
be, it could be that there may be a need to examine whether that number of the bullet should be used, or it could be a number
yes.
one bullet or number two, which has just about say 20 pellets and not 300 or 350 pellets. That is the thing which the forces may like to examine, because shotgun is being used
yeah.
in most of the countries. We are not the only ones who are using it. Then it is the distance from
yes.
which it is fired that makes the difference.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
if we do away
so
with
I'm,
this,
yeah.
if we do away with
yes.
this gun, what else do the
yes.
security forces have? They have a rifle. And that one bullet
yeah.
means one life gone. Which means one life gone.
Yeah.
So,
It is really a conundrum. It's a conundrum. I see what you're saying. It's really difficult to come up with an SOP that you know, you're saying almost that the alternative is only a rifle. Now, I want to raise a more fundamental question. Where do we go from here? You know, we can all name call, Gohar Gilani on this program has often told me that I'm a jingoist. Tarun Vijay has often told me I'm an anti-national. Ye sab chalta rahega. Where do we go from here, Sankarshan? Sankarshan, let me bring
Barkha,
you. Where
I
do
never
we go
said
from here?
Anti-national. Don't use your words for me. I think you are a very patriotic person. But what I feel that I treat Kashmiris as my blood brothers. But do they also feel that I also belong
yes.
to them? Every soldier feels very hesitant
fair
to
question.
Use guns
that
as
fair
a problem.
Question.
But
that
do they
fair
also
question.
Feel that
I
these soldiers
fair
are
question.
Also their brothers?
Okay, fair question.
Right.
Okay,
I think you finally
ahead.
Said this. No, Barkha, to your first question,
yeah,
I wish I could tell
always
you.
Say,
where
I always
go from
say
here because
that
we've been
not only Kashmir, Kashmiris are also us. They are also us.
Okay,
they are
Tarun ji, let Sankarshan speak now.
And
let Sankarshan speak now. Let Sankarshan come in.
Hamesha bola hai. Hamesha.
Tarun Vijay.
Jurat padegi, we will go to hospital.
Then Sankarshan, please.
But do they treat this country as their own?
Okay. Fair point. Sankarshan, please go ahead.
I was saying, Barkha, that we've been covering the same story over and over again for decades. It's a very tragic story, a very, very sad story. There are spikes and there are periods of calm. And I think that our attentions sort of rove to Kashmir when there are such spikes, such violent spikes. But in periods of relative calm, we just assume Kashmir has become normal. It is not normal.
The point I wanted to make, I'm taking off from that wonderful quote from Constable Shivaya. I think he's shown such maturity in that one sentence that apne log hai. You know, implicit in the notion that Kashmir is an integral and inalienable part of India should be the notion also that all Kashmiris are Indians. And then, having arrived there, and I think we are all agreed on this, why are Kashmiris so angry? I think if a section of Indians who, as Tarunji says, do they even consider me part of them? There is the nub of it. Yeah. Is there a reason why they don't consider you part of themselves? I think that anger and has lain low for years and years and years, and we quote high poll figures and we quote, development figures and say everything is fine in Kashmir, 67%, 70%, 75% people have voted. We take each one of those polls as a referendum. It is not. I have never considered it.
Yeah.
You know, there is a problem that we are refusing to address, and it's a very fundamental, and successive governments have...
So there is a denialism.
...have not addressed the problem.
There is a denialism.
Yes, there is a denial, and there is a problem. And it is not a handful of people, and it is not all happening at the behest of Pakistan. You and I know, and a lot of other people know, that there is what you call a homegrown angst, which is building, and at a moment of spike, such as the killing of Burhan Wani has provided, there will be this boiling over and a very violent and tragic one. So I think that question.
So the question becomes
addressed.
Where do we go from here? So Sankarshan, the question then becomes,
I wish I
where,
could tell you,
Barkha.
I mean every spike in Kashmir, we come to such a pass and we begin to examine these questions in a period of calm. When we all assume everything is normal in Kashmir, shikare chal rahe hain, tourists aa gaye. That's ridiculous.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But let me just get quick reactions from those who haven't spoken yet. To Gohar first. Gohar, instead of getting into a debate on fundamentals, because, you know, just like Tarun Vijay and I often disagree, you and I often disagree. That's part of life. How does this situation become better? How do we go to a place where the cycle of violence is broken? We're looking at a toll of 33. Mercifully, in the last 48 hours, things have cooled down a bit. Mehbooba Mufti is putting the onus on parents to also rein in their children while saying that security forces will be answerable if there was excess force. Do you not believe that there is a problem? Like, I met a 16-year-old boy who may never be able to see again, and that's horrible. But should a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old have been out there marching on the street? Why is he not in school? Why are his parents not keeping him in school? Is a question that Mehbooba has alluded to. Go ahead.
First of all, Barkha, let me tell you that I have never called you a jingoist. I say some sections of the media or vast sections of the Indian electronic media, and I have never named you as a jingoist. That is one. But coming to the main question, I think, you know, this is an absurd question to ask, why are people on the streets? There is a legitimate political aspiration which these vast sections of the Indian media are trying to criminalize and delegitimize. There's a genuine political aspiration, and you know what the problem is. The problem is Kashmir dispute. And in those, you know, moments of peace, which, you know, when tourism and other things are sold as fake symbols of normalcy, these are the times, I agree with Mr. Sankarshan Thakur, those are the times when you need to talk to the public representatives, because there are electoral representatives and there are public representatives. And public representatives are Hurriyat Conference and the JKLF and the likes. And you have to invite them for the dialogue.
But
and
who that's decides one that? Who decides
no, just,
that?
Just please. Let
who the, decides who's the representative?
No, please.
Who decides?
It's not that? I am deciding. You just read the agenda of alliance, where it was acknowledged and registered that we have to talk to the Hurriyat, and the reconciliation with Pakistan is the way forward. So this is not I am deciding. This is a, and if you quote figures of, you know, election participation, 60% voting or 30% voting, just let me complete this sentence, please. So you have to also see that 2 lakh or 3 lakh people attended Burhan's funeral. So what is that? Is that not the referendum also? So you have to come out of this denial mode, both in the media as well as the New Delhi establishment. And also, one last point, what Mr. Tarun Vijay said.
I have to go to the others now.
You know, I object to what he said, because that's the language of power and language of, you know, from a colonized power. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay. Now we're getting into a territory that could open many fault lines. Let's stick to what we're debating. Where do we go from here? Shamim, I want to bring you and Vineet now in before we go around the panel again. Shamim, the fact is that there was also a police officer who was pushed into the Sangam River by a mob. There is also a courthouse that was set ablaze. There are also 8 police stations that were torched. There is the Kashmiri policeman who gets it from both sides. He is treated with suspicion by his own people. He's fighting on both sides. Why do we not see journalists like yourself, while you talk about the lack of empathy from the national media, from national politicians, why is no one talking about that police officer who was pushed into the river? Why has grief become so selective?
Barka, but tell me, how do you know that we have not talked about that police officer or we have not expressed any sympathy for him? And coming back to the point, in fact, I'll just explain. I was speaking to a friend of mine in the day who was an SP, and he told me that he was facing a very peculiar problem. He was leading his force and he was faced with about 10-year-old children who were taking their shirts off, were provoking his men to shoot. Yeah. And he believed that in case he left that particular point and came back to his station, his men... Yes. In a fit of anger, may yes. actually open a fire. I and many like me, to be honest, yes. I agree with Shankar Chand Thakur, are at our wits' end. How do we deal with these kids? What do we do? And something has not gone yeah. right since 2010. Something out of the box perhaps needs yeah. to be done to understand their anger, why they're angry, and why are they doing what they have to do. Just one more point. The fact that the state government has yeah. asked for a team of eye specialists shows the gravity of the situation. Yes. I would go a step further. The healthcare system in Kashmir right now is stretched. Many of those who are serious must be airlifted without delay in case we want to give their life another chance.
And I agree with you, but I have some questions on that point to Tarun Vijay, who said that they knew what they were getting in for. But first to Vineet Kaul. Vineet, you have signed a really moving, beautiful citizens' appeal for peace. By your name, I can tell that you are a Kashmiri Pandit. Usually, we have seen this complete breakdown of dialogue between Pandits and Kashmiri Muslims. But in that citizens' appeal for peace, you want to go beyond this polarized rhetoric. You want to go beyond this George Bush style, you're with us or against us, that goes on in this conversation. What made you as a Pandit sign this petition for peace, sir?
I think, If you look at the problem, if you look at stone pelting as an issue, you know, it's been going on for decades. Even before militancy, Kashmiris used to pelt stones. And whatever the reason was, nobody addressed that. You know, militancy started, yeah. and then, you know, you have these pitched battles, you know, things became calm, then they go up, and, you know, all that happens in between. But things have not really, you know, on the ground, you know, there are issues. Whether I agree personally with those issues or not, you know, I tweeted also, when a body bag comes home, there's no glory in that. What did Burhan yeah. Wani achieve at the end of the day? He achieved nothing, absolutely nothing, except, yeah. you know, 30 yeah. more people dead, or, you know, 35, and I hope it stops at that. Today, we need to basically, you yeah. know, de-escalate. It is not about, you know, I being forced yeah. out in 1990 or 89, or it is not about, you know, something else. What the need of the hour is that we need to de-escalate. Whatever it takes. If I start, you know, screaming, shouting that, you know, Kashmiris have become Islamists, or Kashmiris are doing this and that, or if Indians start doing that, they'll, you know, retaliate, and they'll say, you know, Indians do this, Indians do that. It's not going to go anywhere. Today, we need to de-escalate. Mm. And there's another issue that, you know, that we really need to address. This happened 2008, 2010. What is it that we did after that? Nothing. My biggest fear is this is going to end, you know, another 4 days, 5 days, 10 days, 15 days. Kashmiris will go back to their life, you know, whether it's a good life, bad life, miserable life, you know, to each his own. But we are again going to sleep on this. And mark my words, you yeah. know, that's the biggest problem that we have, that we are going to sleep on it.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you.
True.
I couldn't agree with you more. True. I agree with every single word you've said, Vineet. And I know Sankarshan does as well. I just want to go to Mr. Srivastava and General Roy. General Roy, you once said to me that the army has been left to handle a problem that politicians won't. And I actually agree with you that, you know, while we make this into a patriotism test, I think troops are fighting battles that politicians... It's a failure of politics that troops have to fight this battle. It is a failure of politics. Wouldn't you agree, General Roy?
I think I had brought out this issue a couple of days back also on your channel itself. What I would like to bring out, there are two facets here that I would like to bring out through your channel. One is that for the immediate, we need to change our strategy for the crowd control and also find the assisting tools which will not cause the kind of severe injuries those are being reported. And then the troops need to be trained for it. You know, the equipment is not good if the people are not trained properly on it and they don't understand the overall concept of how to go about controlling the crowd, because I'm very certain that the kind of agitation that the crowd has shown now will continue to take place after every such encounter that happens in the valley. That is issue number one, and this requires immediate attention against time.
I'm so glad, sir, you said that, because I want Mr. Srivastav to add to that. Vikram Srivastav, how would you change this crowd control? Because something in it is not working, notwithstanding Tarun Vijay saying, well, they know what they're signing up for when they come out to march for a terrorist. The fact is, we need a different way of crowd control. What would you say that would be, Vikram Srivastav?
Varka, I'd just like to bring up a few points for your, for the viewers. See, you have seen visuals, the policemen or security men, they are picking up stones and throwing it back at the crowd. Why are they doing that? Questions are being asked, why should they be throwing a stone? How do they reach those protesters? Yeah. They have a rifle in their hand.
Yeah.
They can fire. But if they fire, the people will be killed. That the maximum restraint is being exercised by these people. Why would they kill? Let us go back a few months or 1 year back. There were floods in Kashmir. These are the same battalions and soldiers and companies who were carrying the same small children on their shoulders out of those flooded waters. Old men, Kashmiri families, they were carrying on their boats. They were giving them milk. Why were they doing that? Were they waiting that, okay, come 2016 and we'll fire in their eyes? These are the same men, battalions that deployed there since such a long time. Now the thing is...
Of course not.
So they...
I agree with you that of course there was no... Of course there's no elaborate plan to go and take away the vision of young men. Of course not.
Correct. Now the thing is...
My second
point. Now the thing is, let us look at this. A police station was burned down. Why did the protesters have to take the 70 weapons with them? What will they do with those weapons? They did not bring those weapons. Where have they carried it? And what will they do with it? What is the intention? Was the intention only...
Those are fair questions.
Okay. So these things are coming up. And
May I just get the others in now? So that's a very fair question, but...
Just one point. The question that you asked me... General
Roy, quickly one sentence and I want to go to the others. Yes, General Roy, yes.
Yeah, one sentence. The question you asked me about the political accountability, besides outsourcing the entire security situation and the valley to the forces. The issue is that when the relative peace prevails, these people who fight elections and get to the MLA seats must not lose the public contact. At the same time, the administration also must reach out to the public when relative peace prevails. Both these things do not happen the moment relative peace prevails. People continue to behave as if the security situation is the same. And unless they reach out to public, the leaders, I don't know where these leaders were from these constituencies, from where the people have died.
Point.
They must be held accountable.
Sankarshan, I need to start taking last comments. Sankarshan, I'll start with you, then I'll go to Gohar and Shamim and then come to Tarun Vijay. Sankarshan, go ahead.
I think that, you know, that was a very important point, this public connect, mass connect, consistently that, you know, I was sitting in Anantnag 15 days ago talking to a very senior district officer, and he said in the entire South Kashmir, MLAs once elected don't come back for various reasons, for fear, for indifference, for whatever, but they don't come and they don't live among their people, don't talk to them, don't sort of talk to them about their problems. They have no idea of what might be brewing, what is happening. I think that's a very... I wanted to ask, you have two very senior, experienced security persons on your panel, Barkha. If I may, if you could ask them, where else are these pellets used as weapons of crowd control in the country? That will put some
perspective. Mr. Srivastav, do you want to briefly answer that, because I need to go to the others? Vikram Srivastav?
See, these weapons are being used by J&K police. These weapons are present with most of the
Where else in the world? That's what he asked. Where is
or even in India, I'm saying.
Germany is using, South Korea is using, Americans are using. You have the other protests which were on TV the other day. So all the forces are using. They are all using. But it depends on what kind of a shotgun. See, a 12-bore shotgun, or you could think of using a 16-bore shotgun, which will have much lesser number of pellets. Now, that's a thing which the forces could consider and they could think about it. Because it is not going
well,
to
cause Well, I do think some re-evaluation is needed. And that's the thing. And, you know, it is something very... Now, I want to just quickly take last comments. I have just 2 minutes left, so quickly. Gohar, name one thing. Don't have a large philosophical Kashmir conversation with me. In this situation, one thing that would de-escalate. Because I heard Vineet saying de-escalate, de-escalate, de-escalate. Gohar, what would be your prescription in the immediate context? Not Barkha, some life Barkha, conversation
see,
about
I mean,
Kashmir.
Barkha, you see, you know, the slogans... And the philosophy of PDP was healing touch, the battle of ideas, and baat goli se nahi, boli se hogi. But they have, you know, talked to people with bullets, and we have 1,500 injured, and not a single, even the health minister has not gone to visit the injured in the hospitals. And that shows that once she was in the opposition and once she is in power, what kind of, you know, she is speaking the language of BJP right now, because she has not empathized with the people, but instead, you know, said to parents
her,
that, you know,
her you statement go, did, you go, you, her, you her you video statement participate. Did empathize.
But now, no, but now the question, you know, what you are asking is, I totally agree with Shankarshan Thakur. There has been that disconnect. And if they address that disconnect and also address, you know, primarily address the larger question of Kashmir, I think things will come back to normalcy.
Okay, I'm sorry I'm interrupting you. Shamim, very quickly, 30 seconds to you.
Honest, I'm not really worried about the missing weapons or the quality of the bore guns. We should rather all be worried about almost 20 young men who have disappeared on the night that Burhan was buried.
Let me get Tarun Vijay in now. Tarun Vijay, you said in some ways these people knew what they were in for, but your coalition partner Mehbooba Mufti's video statement yesterday says the security forces will be answerable for excessive force and expresses great anguish. They've even reached out to Syed Ali Shah Gilani, the pro-Pakistan separatist leader, to control the street. So 30 seconds, isn't there a dichotomy between the BJP and the PDP on this, Mr. Tarun Vijay?
See, you can say all that because our Indian soldiers are accountable to the Indian Constitution and the lawmaking agencies. But is anybody speaking about the sophisticated weapons that these terrorists are using? Rocket launchers, AK-47s, hand grenades coming from Pakistan and funding from Pakistan and training camps in Pakistan. You want us to have empathize with these people? We can have everything for them. 32,000 crores have been given by the Modi government for development. They get best of the universities. They get highest amount of grants, which even Bihar and Jharkhand doesn't get. They don't pay income tax. They don't pay for electricity. A million young Kashmiris are studying in Rajasthan, in Bombay, in Chennai, and in Bangalore. They are the Indian people whom we should take care of. But a small handful of people who are using hand grenade against our soldiers, you want us to have empathize with them? Let them have engagement. We will give everything except freedom. If they want freedom, they will get what they deserve. But they have a right to protest within a democratic system. And Mehbooba Mufti, Nirmal Singh are giving the best of them. And for the last 6 decades, we are engaging them, giving them the best, which even...
I'm just saying there's a contradiction between Mehbooba's language and the...
state is not getting in India.
You and Mehbooba Mufti
Kashmiris
are not saying the same thing.
Kashmiris get the best.
Okay,
Kashmiris get the best.
I have to give the last word to
Vineet. Even then, if they are using the AK-47, what we can do? I don't know. I don't know whether Gilani has been approached.
I want to tell you.
But we must use everything.
He has been approached officially. Officially.
Peace must prevail.
Officially, the government statement said we appeal to the separatists to help. Okay, I'm giving Vineet the last word. I just want to tell you all that as we speak, the toll has climbed. The toll has climbed to 34. There's been, that report coming in from Anantnag in South Kashmir. Vineet, you can wrap this up for us. Vineet.
Yeah. I think, you know, you know, managing Kashmir is not easy. You know, it's very easy to blame Mehbooba. It was really easy to blame Umar, you know, when it happened at that time. There are difficult situations. And, you know, how a chief minister or the you know, administration is going to react in those circumstances, it's a guess at best. That's one part. Second, you know, I'm going to use a harsh word. Please pardon me for that. Kashmir's infrastructure is shitty at best. I don't know where that money goes to. I just came back on 5th, and you know, from Gulmarg to Tangmarg, you know, the road can actually swallow you. Okay. Third, every Kashmiri is represented by people who pelt stones or who pick up a gun. There has to be a process for those Kashmiris, you know, who don't want, who probably have aspirations, maybe political aspirations, but who don't believe in a violent protest. There has to be a voice for them.
Yeah.
There has to be a voice for that shikarawala,
yes,
for that taxi driver, for me. And, you know, I signed that petition because it was started by, you know, one of the moderate groups on Facebook. You know, you should visit that group. And there are a lot of people, you know, who are extremely moderate there. And there are many times, you know, I don't agree
and,
with, you know, their view of things.
And we have to engage with the moderates.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't agree with them
but
on many occasions.
But we have to
engage
at least with the moderates.
Yeah, but...
But you want to engage with them. At least you'll have the conversation.
I want
and
to.
And at least have the conversation. Yeah.
I want to. They spend they spend the entire night, you know, writing that draft to get the English right, to get the grammar right. Because, you know, things are so volatile. You know, even if there was a is or a was here or there,
well,
you know, hell would break loose.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, Vineet, I will applaud you for actually in this volatile time, putting your name. You could be an, you know, embittered pundit. You've chosen not to be. You could be a hostile person of the valley.
Pundit. There is no doubt about that. But that is for another day.
But you are still... That is for another day. I will have to leave it there. But there is a moment of hope, at least, when citizens like yourself sign on for that petition and appeal for peace. Leaving it there from what we are calling a wounded valley. You can go on debating ideologically, but that's one thing you're going to have to agree on. This is wounded and it needs a healing touch. Leaving it there from the entire Buck Stops Here team, live from Srinagar tonight. Goodbye and thanks for watching.